to C3 Church, Hepburn Heights. We believe Jesus Christ gives life to the full, and we are called to live it and share it. We pray you enjoy this message today.
Brand new year, brand new decade. Feels fresh. Fresh like putting on that brand new pair of socks that you got for Christmas, Dad's, or undies, where the elastic still works. Biting into that crunchy apple for the first time. Fresh. Going for that walk along the beach in the morning on a summer's morning. Fresh. It feels fresh. It feels good to be here with you today. And week two of the series With Jesus on Purpose. I began that last week and I talked about the fact that now is the time to dream. Now's the time to look forward, to set our hearts towards a new decade and some brand new possibilities. And it's really important that we carry two elements with us as we head into this new decade. The first one is a sense of purpose, a sense of intent. That we aren't a people that haphazardly just wander into a new decade going, oh, la-di-da, let's see what happens. But we have clear steps. We know where we're going. We're led by our God. And there's a sense of purpose and intent about us. And the second thing is that we're doing that. We're walking every step of the way with Jesus. Jesus isn't an added extra. Jesus is with us every step of the way. Why wouldn't you want the King of Kings walking with us every step of the way? He is Lord. He is Savior. He is our Messiah. He's the one who gives us new life. He's the one who strengthens us when we're weak. He's the one who gives us wisdom when we don't have the answers. And so we are determined that we are people that are stepping into a new decade with Jesus on purpose. And Luke chapter 9 is our focus for this series. And we see in this chapter Jesus having many interactions with the disciples. And he's helping his disciples throughout step into things, step over things, step through things. A lot of times it's to step over themselves and their own attitudes. But we're going to look at how this might relate, his interactions with the disciples, that might relate to us as we step into this brand new decade. And last week we unpacked a couple of thoughts. And if you weren't here last week, you can grab the podcast, you can listen to sermon number one of this series. But the two thoughts that we unpacked last week, number one, Jesus is sending us into this decade. Jesus, who called the disciples together and sent them, also calls you and I together and he sends us. He sends us into our homes, our relationships, our workplaces, our places of study, our neighborhoods this decade. And we're not in those situations by chance. The King of heaven and earth is sending us into those places on purpose this decade. And as Jesus sends us into this decade, we go with his power. We go with his authority to declare and demonstrate that the kingdom of God is here. The kingdom of God is here that brings victory over sin, over death, over sickness, over darkness, over hatred, over the enemy. That is what we go with. Number two, Jesus is also calling us to feed others this decade. Just as Jesus called his disciples to feed the 5,000 with what was in their grasp, he is calling each one of us, you and me, one of us, to take what is in our hands, what is within our grasp, our gifts, our skills, our experiences, our wisdom, our resources. He's asking us to bring them to him so that he can bless and he can multiply and bring abundant provision for those in our world. Ready for this week? All right, Luke chapter 9, verses 18 to 20. I've actually asked my daughter Beth to come and read the scriptures for us today. Please welcome Beth.
Is it on, Dad?
Is it on? Yes. Just speak into it.
Hello?
Yeah.
Once when Jesus was praying in private and his disciples were with him, he asked them, "Who do the crowd say I am?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, and still others that one of the prophets of long ago has come back to life." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Peter answered, "God's Messiah."
Fantastic. Thank you, Beth. You just want to stay up here. You're going to come up a bit later and read the other bit. Is that okay?
Yep.
Cool. Thank you. Isn't she a lovely reader? She is a great reader. Here Jesus is praying in private with his disciples. That's curious. In private with his disciples. And conjecture is swirling around about who Jesus is. He's an amazing teacher. He's a miracle worker. He's a healer. He's a lifter up of the oppressed. He's a lover of sinners. But who is he? There's this confusion in the crowd. And in today's culture, we can inject social media, the wider media, pretty much anyone with an opinion and a platform into that crowd position. The crowd is talking. The crowd is always talking. And Jesus is curious to know what the crowd thinks. But then he narrows his focus. He eyeballs the disciples. And he says, "Who do you say I am?" Amongst the chatter, amongst the noise, amongst the conjecture, amongst the confusion, amongst the militant enforcing of others' opinions, every distraction under the sun, amongst all of that, who do you say I am? And Peter speaks up. Of course it was Peter. Strong, full of faith, and he says, "You're God's Messiah. You're the anointed one. You're the one long prophesied about. You're the one who would bring freedom and hope. There's no other answer but to say you are the King and the Lord." It was a confession not only of truth, but it was a confession of trust. And this confession came not from a great education or clever logic or convincing argument. It was revealed to Peter through the presence of Jesus, through being with his God, being in relationship, being close, being near. It was revealed through the Holy Spirit in prayer. And this decade, Jesus is asking you and I for a strong confession of faith. Amidst the noise, amidst the distractions, the circumstances, the imposing monologues at each extreme, the circumstances we face, he's asking us for a strong confession of faith. It's not a demand. It's not a demand. He's asking us. He's not being forceful. Why? Because he doesn't want a religiously rehearsed reply. He wants a response from a heart that's come alive in his presence. And he asks you and I that question, just as he asked the disciples, "Who do you say I am?" Why is it important that we have a strong confession of our faith in Jesus this decade? You see, when Jesus is in the rightful place in our lives and in our hearts, we'll stay on track when we're tempted to veer off. We'll bounce back when we have failed. We'll take opportunities and grow as influencers, using our gifts to shine bright for him. When our confession of faith is strong and we are surrendered to the Lordship of Christ, you and I are better husbands and wives. We're better parents. We're better friends. We're better human beings. We're better conduits of the kingdom of God. Our strong confession of faith will help our kids when they have questions about life and God. Our strong confession of faith will help our friends, Christian friends, non-Christian friends, when they need strength and stability. Our strong confession of faith will help us in our workplace and places of study, as truth in love flows through us and another way to live is demonstrated. A strong confession of faith will also help us. It'll help ourselves. And we need help. Help. when doubts come, when fear comes, it's not a matter of if. When disappointment comes, when failure comes to corrode our faith, our strong confession of faith will point us to Jesus and he will lift us up. After Peter's confession, Jesus asked the disciples not to tell anyone that he's the Messiah. This is probably to halt any political frenzy that might ensue because of the connotations that the Jewish people had about the prophesied Messiah overthrowing the Roman Empire and bringing political rule for the chosen people of God. He says, not time. It's not the right time. It's not the right thing to do. Then Jesus gives the first announcement that we read in the Gospel of Luke of his approaching death. This again messes with the Jewish concept of the Messiah. What are you talking about? Suffering? What are you talking about? Death? The Messiah? The Anointed One? That's not going to happen. But then Jesus reveals more of who he is and what his plan is. He's going to be subject to suffering and death, but then he will rise again. And anyone who wants to follow him is to also, or must also be willing to suffer and surrender their life to God. And this no doubt blew the disciples away, just as it blows me away every day. He's saying that the crown of glory, it's going to come, but the pathway is the cross. Are you telling me that victory is a reality, but it's going to come through surrender? Oh, that messes me. But as followers of Jesus, that is our confession. That is our strong confession of faith, that our Messiah came to overthrow the enemy of sin and death, not by the sword, but by giving his life. And we who carry his name are to do the same. Jesus is asking for a strong confession of faith this decade. Next point. Beth, come back up. Luke 9:28-36.
About 8 days after Jesus said this, he took Peter, John, and James with him and went up onto a mountain to pray. As he was praying, the appearance of his face changed, and his clothes became as bright as a flash of lightning. Two men, Moses and Elijah, appeared in glorious splendor talking with Jesus. They spoke about his departure, which he was about to bring to fulfillment at Jerusalem. Peter and his companions were very sleepy, but when they became fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men standing with him. As the men were leaving Jesus, Peter said to him, "Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us put up three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not know what he was saying. While he was speaking, a cloud appeared and covered them, and they were afraid as they entered the cloud. A voice came from the cloud saying, "This is my son, whom I have chosen. Listen to him." When the voice had spoken, they found that Jesus was alone. The disciples kept this to themselves and did not tell anyone at that time what they had seen.
Thank you, Beth. Just as Peter, John, and James were led by Jesus into a moment where they saw and experienced the incredible glory of God, this decade, Jesus is leading you and I into glory. God's glory is his splendor, his majestic beauty, his holiness, his perfection, his completeness seen and experienced by humanity. And on this mountain, it was seen by the disciples in the person of Jesus, in the appearance of Moses and Elijah that represented the Old Testament, in the cloud, and through the voice of God the Father. God wants his glory seen. He wants his glory experienced. He wants it felt by you and I. He wants to share his glory. He wants to show his glory. He wants to fill us with his glory. God's glory is what he emits. It's his aura. It's what is poured out when he comes near. And you and I, we all have an aura. It's okay. It's okay to turn to the person next to you and say, yeah, I have an aura. We emit something. What is in our hearts comes out. And my kids, why don't you come up? Are you going to come up, Lucy? Harrison, Beth, and Lucy's not going to come up. That's okay. She said maybe when she turns four, she'll come up. She turns four in Feb, so I'm going to hold you to that. Yeah, you're going to come up. And so my kids have, they emit an aura. There's something that's characteristic about who they are. Harry's poised and calm and kind of cool. Remember when he was one of the wise men at Christmas time and he kind of walks and he's like, walk on stage and he's kind of chill, like the chillest wise man ever. Were you a shepherd? Wise man or shepherd? I don't know. Maybe it's got something to do with his middle name. Benjamin. Beth's aura, what Beth emits is grace. That's her middle name. She's got a grace, there's an ease. You feel, Beth is disarming. You feel loved and special and she's so thoughtful and caring when you're hanging out with her. And Lucy, I still mention you. Just give us a wave, Lucy. You won't even wave. So disobedient. You're grounded. She's got nowhere to go anyway. What Lucy emits is joy. That's her middle name. Something in her name. There's a sense of joy. There's a sense of fun. There's a sense of life about Lucy. And the thing is, when I'm hanging out with each one of my kids, I get caught up in who they are and what they're emitting in their aura. I can't help but become a little bit more poised when I'm hanging out with Harry. A little bit more gracious when I'm hanging out with Beth, and a little bit more fun and crazy when I'm hanging out with Lucy. Can we thank my kids? Thank you. It's the same with God. What God emits, the aura he emits, it rubs off on us as we are in his presence. As we are in close proximity with him. As we are walking with Jesus and allowing him to lead us into that space of prayer. And in the person and work of Jesus, God's perfect revelation of his character, his aura, what he emits, his presence has been revealed. You want to know God? Look at Jesus. Jesus is God in flesh, the perfect representation of God on this planet. Jesus himself says it in John 14, 6 to 9. Is it okay, Beth, if I read this one? Thank you. Not even looking at me, looking at a screen. Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father and that'll be enough for us. Slap. Jesus answered, don't you know me, Philip? Even after I've been among you such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. Jesus is the very glory and aura of God. So why would we want to be led into glory this decade? As we see and experience God's glory, we're reminded of who we serve and who we live for. We're reminded of his power and his authority, that our God is the one true God. There are many other imposters, but our one true God is unsurpassed in his sovereignty and his power. And I had a moment last year, and I shared about this, a moment in his presence where I was overcome by the awe of the king, and I couldn't move. I was just awestruck. I was struck by his incredible sovereignty. That's what he wants to do in leading us into glory. These moments of glory, as we are led into them, they realign us with what is most important. These moments also fill us with His presence. They fill us with His life and His light and His love for the purpose of bringing change to the world around us. These moments also radically change us and our hearts. But you know what? It's not every time that we're with Jesus do we have these mountaintop moments. Darn. We may have had moments of prayer. Multiple moments of prayer and nothing. No feeling, no seeing, definitely no glory. A lot of times that isn't a reality in our times of prayer. We're not, as the disciples were, fully awake yet. They were sleepy. And then they became fully awake. And it was in that fully wokeness that they saw His glory. But you know what? Every time we go into that place of prayer and we don't have that mountaintop moment, it isn't a reason for us to stop. It's not a reason for us to give up. And Harry's, he loves his basketball at the moment. He's playing basketball and we go down to the courts pretty often and we're shooting. And I'm encouraging to practice just the basics, the layups and the mid-court shots. He's interested in three-pointers and dunking. No, he can't dunk yet, but... And I'm like, just practice the basics. And sometimes he's shooting and he just can't, he's just not in the sweet spot and he's not shooting well and he's not getting them in and he can get a bit frustrated with himself. And I said, mate, just keep shooting. You can shoot your way out of a shooting funk. If you're not shooting, the answer is keep shooting. Keep shooting. And I might have whipped out at the odd Michael Jordan quote, my favorite one, to him in these incredible moments where I feel like orchestra starts playing. Father and son moment. Ba-ba-ba-ba, son. The great Michael Jordan once said. But he was asked by reporters, Michael Jordan, why you shoot all the time? Even when you're shooting badly, he said, I miss 100% of the shots I don't take. With seeing and experiencing God's glory, you and I are going to miss out on 100% of those life-changing moments with God that we don't have time to take. Just keep. Thanks, Michael Jordan. Just keep shooting. Just keep going. Just keep going. Just keep going. Just keep being open to God, allowing Him to lead us. He wants to show us His glory. He wants to. He wants to. The people up the back that I can hardly see. He wants to show you His glory. He wants to show you His glory. He's a sharing God. And before I conclude the message this morning, we're going to watch a short video from founder and leader of our movement, Pastor Phil Pringle, as we head into a 2020. C3 churches all over the world are going to be showing this over the next... Thank you, Pastor Phil. I think this is my first time tag-teaming with Pastor Phil. That works perfectly, what he said, with our two thoughts today. I'm just going to tie them together as I close. Jesus is asking for a strong confession of faith this decade. Jesus is leading you and I into glory this decade. Both of these moments for the disciples in Luke came out of a place of prayer, came out of a place of being in the presence of their Messiah. Jesus was praying in private and His disciples were there before the great confession. Jesus took the fellas up to the mountain. Why? To show them His glory? No, to pray. And as you and I pray, we are choosing to come near to Jesus. We're choosing to push aside every other distraction. We're choosing to say, Jesus, You are the source of my hope and my peace, my sense of identity, a sense of love. You are my direction, my wisdom going forward. That is what we communicate to our God when we come to Him in prayer. A revelation of Jesus as Messiah and Lord comes out of a place of prayer. A profound experience of God's glory and His presence come out of a place of prayer. peace and hope and strength and wisdom come out of a place of prayer. Clarity and purpose for a brand new decade come out of a place of prayer. And so what's our plan for prayer in 2020 and beyond? It's essential that you and I, no matter how young we are in this place today or more mature, that we all have a plan, that we all have intentionality around what we do with our prayer life. What's the next step for you? How can we start praying, maybe? How can I strengthen an existing prayer habit? How can I bring in trusted people into that prayer place? How can I utilize the Bible this year in my prayer and devotion time? How does praise and worship music work in my prayer time? How do I need to use my diary and diarize my prayer time in the week? It's important this week, can I encourage us all, every one of us this week, that we spend some moments, we spend some time considering this incredibly vital part of not only our Christian walk, but it's such a vital part of our lives as human beings, this prayer life that we have.
Thanks so much for joining us here on our podcast. We encourage you to let this word further help you live and share the life to the full that Jesus gives. If you want to check out more about our upcoming events, service times, locations, or to give online, go to c3hh.com.au.